You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Welcome to the Massive Report from Casa Sammy. Is that what we called it last time? No, we called it Casa de Fami. Casa de Fami, that's right. Man. Well, at any rate, we're at Sam's kitchen table because everyone else bailed on us. But that's okay. Who needs them anyway?
It's the Sam and Brian show. I'm okay with that.
We are brought to you by 180 Property Development, and we thank them for their sponsorship of the Massive Report podcast. 180 Property Development is your partner in redeveloping, remodeling, or even building your home from the ground up. Skilled builders and designers are ready to help you build the home of your dreams. Check out 180propertydevelopment.com for your next projects. And we have, with their help, but one more pair of home game tickets for the final home match of the season, but not this week because we've got to wait a few weeks before the front-running Philadelphia Union come to town. So in the episode before that, we'll hook you up, get you into Moffray Stadium gratis, and we thank our friends at 180 for helping us out with that. This is going to be a short episode tonight, Sam, because there was no game this past weekend. There were a few MLS matches, but for the crew, it seems like this never happens. We always get stuck playing two games during the international window. So it was kind of nice to not be without important players who are off for national team duties while we're struggling with our flickering playoff hopes.
I mean, it's not really flickering at this point. If somebody sneezes, it'll go out.
I read an article on MassiveReport.com today outlining our playoff scenario, and it's pretty simple.
Well,
win out, and then everyone that's in front of you has to lose most of their games. I don't know. Somebody's going to have to put it into a computer. It's really so funny.
I mean, if our playoff chance is more than 0.5%, I would be really surprised. Mm. I don't think that that's the case. But at this point, it's almost like, don't strain yourself. Just let it go. Just like Elsa, just let it go. And just use these last few games to figure out, you know, what you want to do next season.
Yeah, let's look at players you want to look at. But let's play as if we had a bigger playoff chance. Let's say 2% or 4.
That's doubling right there.
Play to win. Play to score goals.
You should always play to win.
Well, I know, but you know what I mean? It's like, let's not, because we have three road games of our final four matches, and sometimes when you go on the road in a lot of circumstances during the season, you're going to try to get your point and go home. Well, at this point, obviously, you just need to play one way, and that's all out.
Our three road games are Vancouver Whitecaps.
They're terrible.
Atlanta United.
Yeah, that's this coming Saturday.
And
Toronto, correct?
Toronto, yeah. I believe.
Yeah.
Is that right?
And Toronto, we can inflict a lot of damage on their playoff hopes. They're sitting in the 7th slot right now. So that's,
yeah, I'd rather
that's
play
incentive.
Spoiler than worry about playoffs.
Right. I mean, it's not.
Especially if it's Toronto.
It's not going to happen. But we can have some fun on our way out the door here. And I think enough good things have happened since the middle of the summer to this date to give us cause for a lot of optimism. We'll preview the Atlanta match here in a few minutes. It's shocking how much they rely on one guy. And can that be a problem in the playoffs for them?
Are you talking about Justin Meram? Because, I mean, Justin Meram.
You got me. It's
speaking
just,
of Justin Meram, real quick. And I know he doesn't listen to the podcast, but he's a good guy to most people. But congratulations on his engagement that took place this last week.
Good for him.
So
is she a nice girl?
She seems like a nice girl.
Because I need to sign off on this.
Yeah, so okay. I'll show you pictures.
Good for it. Well, I look forward to seeing those as well. Good for Justin. That's great. And I imagine they'll get married during the off season. And will he be back with Atlanta? I don't know. But he'll have a job somewhere. So it'll be okay. So some notes before we, I guess, take a break and then preview the Atlanta match.
Do we really want to take a break? We should just smoke through it.
Oh, if you want. I mean, you're in charge. Okay, fine.
Might as well. I'm making executive decisions.
I was on Twitter today, and I don't know why I still follow this guy. He's a writer. Bills is his last name. He's a freelance soccer writer based in Austin, Texas, and I was following him during the whole saga. Yep. Well, for some reason, he's still on my Twitter feed.
Still on mine, too.
Apparently, they did the groundbreaking at McCalla Place in Austin this afternoon.
Yes.
And two notes from that. A, there was video from this groundbreaking. The shovels are in the ground, and behind It was the shadowing was such that I couldn't make out who was who. I guess Matthew McConaughey was there.
Yes, he
is he an investor?
He's one of the investors, one of the quote unquote local investors that they added to the ownership, to the ownership group.
I mean, it makes sense. He's about the most famous person in Austin, Texas. He's someone. Oh, that's Justin Meerum's fiance. Oh yes, Maxine. Very nice. Well, congratulations to the happy couple.
Absolutely. Also, nice hair, Justin.
Yeah. Oh, well, his hair is always on point. So they're breaking ground. Matthew McConaughey is there. I hope he gave a speech from True Detective, Rust Cole. That's my favorite character of his, I think, is Rust Cole. So creepy. And Precourt, of course, was holding court and admitted basically that they – and this is – somebody pointed out on Twitter that it's like Spaceballs, where the code was 123456 to get into the suitcase.
Yeah.
He said that they had a code phrase in the front office here in Columbus when they were referring to their secret project to tank the team and move them to Austin. And this is so funny. I just shake my head. You're saying this in front of a man, Matthew McConaughey, an Academy Award winning international film star.
Who's just getting into business with you.
Who's just going into business with you. And he does, I can guarantee you he doesn't want to be associated with this kind of clownish frat house behavior. It's beneath most people.
Maybe he just
people.
Didn't, you know, he didn't... I mean, to me, any person who has decided that Precourt, who has followed any of this or done any of their homework and decided that Precourt is a man that they want to get business with, kind of deserve what they get.
Sure.
So if Matthew McConaughey is aware that he kind of deserves what he get, if he's not, I feel sad for him. But I thought it was really funny that, you know, the code name was Team Bat, right. And the BAT stands for B Austin's Team.
Uh-huh.
So it was Team B Austin's Team. It's like, man, you can't eat, like, you ham-fisted so much, even your supposed code name was complete shit because you don't know how English language works.
And you know that they went out for drinks during this several years that they were hatching this plot and laughing about their code, and they probably had a secret language and, you know, stand-in words for what they really meant and so forth.
Good names for each person.
Yeah, they sound like a bunch of drug smugglers or something. I'm saying that they are drug smugglers, but, I mean, what is going on with this code?
I don't think they're smart enough to be drug smugglers. That's number one. Number two, I thought, like, the first scene that, you know, like, you see something like this and then, like, various weird scenarios pop in your head. And the first, like, scene that came to my mind is Precourt sitting in his office inviting, like, some of the old front office members that before they left. And he said, and he would be like, so-and-so, we'd like you to be part of Team Bat. And it just, the puzzled look on those crew employees' face as they're like, what is Team Bat?
He's
petting a cat.
He's stroking his kitty, like...
Like The Godfather. Oh my God. Man. It's so silly. It's so sad is what it is. You know, the other thing that struck me was I mentioned the video of them breaking ground, and behind them, when the shovels hit the dirt, the dry Texas dirt. And as we know, this McCalla Place parcel is a toxic waste site.
Yeah, toxic
they're going
waste
to have site. To remediate all that soil in order to make this project pass muster. So when the shovels hit this dry Texas soil, not only did the dust come up, but they decided that it would be a great idea if behind all the ceremonial shovelers, if this green cloud, it was like what they use for baby gender reveals, this green cloud, green smoke.
That's just to hide the dust.
And I'm going, this is what the message, the visual that you have for everyone to see at this toxic waste dump is this green cloud that looks like toxic waste coming out of the ground.
Right.
I laugh so hard. They're so silly.
You know, and they're saying, okay, so they're saying that the city's going to own the land and it's going to own the venue, but they're going to build the stadium on the land. So kind of like the way Monterey Stadium is set up right now.
Uh-huh.
However, there was like, and somebody mentioned the list of questions that are not being addressed. Like, who controls how the stadium is used, who gets the parking revenue, who gets the naming rights revenue, who gets any of that stuff. They're, you know, the amount of information they're sending out there, I think as this deal develops, and not deal at this point, it's they've agreed to it, but as the stadium situation develops, I think there's going to be a lot of, I feel like there's going to be a lot of suits and countersuits. Maybe not countersuits, but there's going to be a lot of lawsuits involved with this whole stadium. Well, it seems like it's running smooth right now, but...
Well, they've now officially broken ground, which is ceremonial. It means nothing. But you're right. I think that if their approach was, we'll just... It'll work out. It'll take care of itself. You can't do business that way. I feel like by 2024, Matthew McConaughey is going to end up owning the whole team, and that's what's going to happen.
There's a couple other millionaires that are on there, too, that probably have more money than Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, I'm sure. Some oil money.
And to be honest, and after seeing that you know, local investor thing, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, by 2024, 2025, if not sooner, that Precourt, you know, sells the rest of it and gets out.
MLS might have a code for referring to Precourt already and their secret plan to get rid of them.
Oh, yes.
Huh?
No, all right.
Enough on that. The thing that cracked me up more than anything else was the green cloud wafting up from the dirt.
There is one thing to be said, though. And look, Crew fans that are listening to this, I know you're going to start asking, but I don't have an answer for you. I wish we did, but we don't. Your question is, when are we breaking ground on the new stadium? If Austin is doing it now, when are we going to do it? Because we have that complex, you know? And it's like, don't worry.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. We don't know when. And, you know, soon enough, you're going to get that email in your inbox saying, hey, season ticket holders or whatever, we're about to break ground on this. We're seeing approvals. We're not seeing all the approvals. But some of it's happening behind closed doors.
Sure.
So we just
I'm not worried.
Be patient.
I'm not worried about it. I just want my tunnel from Betty's into the stadium. Yeah. That's really all I'm holding fast to.
I think we have to take Bez to Betty's first.
Yes,
and then get him drunk and committed to the tunnel.
We do. And speaking of Bez, kudos to him for a great evening with the alumni and all the guys that they got to come back to the stadium on August 31st.
Absolutely.
I know the result was very disappointing, but the alumni night couldn't have been more special. I know the fans appreciated it. I know that the alumni appreciated it. Hadn't seen John Harkes in the flesh in many years, and it was just really neat to see. And it wasn't just star players. It was, you wore the kit. You can come.
Adam Bedell was there.
Yeah. I mean, and good for those guys. You know, they've gone on with their lives, whatever that might be. And this was just a short part of their life. But for the crew to recognize them, you had some academy players that didn't play for the club very long, but are part of the organization. And to take that time to do that, I think speaks volumes going forward to how this club is going to really re-embrace its roots. And when you think about the roots that we have, I mean, to see Brian Mazenoff, who's now the coach at Ohio State, which, by the way, we need to get out. We need to have a massive report night
at Ohio State soccer.
Brian Mazenoff and his boys. Women's soccer as well. The Jesse Owens facility, if you've never watched
a game there,
it's fantastic. Yep. Every seat's a great seat. The atmosphere is wonderful. And the times I've gone, they've let us in for free. So it's like they open the door and everybody comes
in. I believe it's almost always free unless they're doing some sort of, like, there's a big match.
Tournament.
Like when they play, when they play Akron or something like that, they turn it into a charity event.
Oh,
and it's
great.
Like $5.
All the better.
And it's all this is going to go to.
All the better.
Whatever. You know?
And the last time I was there, Los Hermanos taco truck was there too, and it was
nice.
Like, well, this is a perfect evening,
right?
So I think definitely
every evening is perfect
this fall. I think I'm just putting it out there, we need to have a mass report night. And it really is just like, well, show up, because we don't have to buy tickets.
Yeah,
so just come and cheer on Brian Mazenoff. It was so special to see him there. I hadn't seen him in years. I just remember what a stellar tackler of the ball he was, and how he would do that weird superhero wrap, like Plastic Man wrap around. Like, he'd come up from behind you and wrap his legs around your legs and pull the ball away from your feet and never touch you. I was just always amazed at how great he was at that. And people forget he was on the national team at the 98 World Cup. That World Cup was disappointing, but he was on the side. You know, I mean, this guy was a top flight player, and he's come back to Columbus, and for him to be brought back into the fold, I can't remember ever seeing him at the stadium for any event. So.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't want to say it hurts to not have owners that know the history of the team, because you'd think that the Hunts, even though after Lamar's passing, you'd think that the Hunts understand and recognize the history of that team, but they've done very little once Lamar passed in order to kind of continue to grow that thing. And I think the alumni game that was organized last year by Alejandro Moreno and several
Another
others.
It was great to see.
Yeah, I think it was great in raising that, like, no, this is our home. This is our team. This is, you know, we have stake in this club and in this city. And that's why you see the turnout. And I think that turnout, if they continue to do this every year, this becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, and you see people that you haven't seen in a long time, like this year.
Jeff Cunningham is another one.
Yeah,
like,
and
wow.
I believe, and I had stepped away at that point, but I believe when the team came and did Wise Men Say, the alumni that were still there came and they all stood with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, that just gives me chills just thinking about it. You know, that's pretty cool. And now you have this, like, now you're starting to develop this our team tradition, which has developed in the last few games, and I'm very interested to see how that continues to develop and grow even more to where, you know, it's not just the corner thing, even though it is happening in the corner, but more people are staying and singing with the whole team.
Absolutely. I think that's a beautiful thing that we can sort of grow organically. I think with Dante Washington, who, by the way, still looks like he can play.
Dante Washington's a brick house.
With him in the front office, and I know that this isn't like part of his job per se, that he's in business development, isn't he?
Yeah.
But I think this is something that he can sort of be the point person on. He knows all the guys. And it doesn't have to be a big spectacular thing. The fans just want to see the guys and see them wave and get an autograph before the match. Maybe another alumni game. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But just simple stuff.
And it wasn't anything that you had to go out of your way to do. Mm-hmm. You had season ticket holders that have been season ticket holders since 1996, and you had scarves.
Mm-hmm.
If you walk into my office, you're going to see that there's at least scarves to fill like another room. But yeah, I mean, it was just the gesture of these season ticket holders that have been through a lot of ups and downs with this team, and they're getting to appreciate and up close and personal these players that are coming home, you know, that are coming to because they're being honored by the team. And so it's not just on the player's part, but also on the fan part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a season ticket holder, this is an honoring thing.
Well, I know a lot of people, they talk about, and this isn't me, but a lot of people talk about, well, high school is the best days of my life. I
Those
guarantee
are
you.
People who didn't really
yeah,
get
didn't,
further.
Yeah. When it comes to these guys, I would bet to a man playing for Columbus Crew whenever they did, that was, especially for the guys that were here at the right time, you know, those were the best days of their lives. Not that they don't have amazing lives now, but just being young and being a professional athlete and being part of something that's bigger than yourself, that is so meaningful, and that's why we see them return.
And some of those guys, when they played, they didn't even know if the league was going to survive. Mm-hmm. As long as it has so far.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, the fact that it's still continuing to be played and grow. And to be fair, I can't ignore this. And I don't know exactly who put this event together. I'm guessing it's Erica. Good job, Erica,
yeah.
as usual.
Yeah,
but
she's awesome.
The fact that Dr. Pete has been with the team since 96.
Yeah.
And has probably treated most of those guys at one point or the other.
He knows
I
all.
Mean, his hand has been in each, you know, ligament and bruise and
right.
break or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that having that local ownership pull that has a history with the team, that knows the history of the team, that have been with it from the beginning, plays a huge part.
Absolutely. At any rate, kudos to everyone for putting it together. It was just very touching to see all the guys. And let's do it every year, and whatever we can come up with to make it even better, I'm all for it. Well, do we talk about Mexico-USA for a moment, since we mentioned the national team with Brian Mazenov? And
I think
a moment
it'll,
is all
it'll just lead to a lot of ranting.
Yeah, it just a moment is all it deserves. 3-0. Mexico 3, USA nothing in that friendly the last week. Is Greg Berhalter on the hot seat yet? Is it? I think it's too early. I mean, he's got to be able to put his own stamp on it. He's evaluating talent at this point.
He is, and I think this is one of those games that generates more more reaction because it's Mexico.
Sure,
and the U.S. hasn't lost to Mexico by that margin in a long time. And I'm not even including the qualifier in Columbus. But 3-0 and not looking great in the process. No. And Chicharito and that first goal looking like a world-beater scorer. I mean, it's tough. It's tough, and especially because it's Mexico. It could be Uruguay, which is tomorrow
at 8 o'clock.
It could be Uruguay, and I don't think – I think there would be still some reaction, but I don't think it would be as – strong as it is against Mexico.
Jossie Zardes played 67 minutes and completed 6 passes, i.e. he didn't touch the ball very much. 2 of those 6 passes were kickoffs. So he was the invisible man.
He was having to play defense.
Yeah.
Because
they pressed high?
Yeah, they pressed high and they couldn't really they couldn't get anything going. And when they did have like an open shot, there was some very haphazard shot taking. Not blaming anybody, you know, that happens at for every team, but yeah, it just they could not deal with that Mexico press, and whether it's coaching or whether it's the players, you get your pick. They're both bad.
Well, we'll see if we can redeem ourselves tomorrow night in St. Louis at Busch Stadium, the home of the baseball St. Louis Cardinals.
Coined St. Louis.
They're going to get a good turnout. Chances are it's going to be pretty swampy, although it's September and not July, so it'll be a little bit better. But Uruguay, you know, is going to put a good team on the field. I don't know if we're going to see the infamous one. This match, now his name just completely escaped my brain again.
Suarez.
Thank you. Good Lord. I doubt we'll see Suarez, but it would be fun if we did. I mean, the fans want to see him.
Sure.
Sure. So we'll see.
But with those U.S. national team ticket prices, will they?
Oh, that's a good point. I think that we've discussed this before, that especially with these friendlies.
I do think they get a turnout just merely because they've just been announced as an MLS city.
Yeah.
And whatever supporter groups that are in St. Louis, they're going to try to make a show for themselves by showing up to the game. And they'll probably get some deals to help that.
Well, I always, and this goes back to the North American Soccer League, certainly to Brian McBride starring at St. Louis University, which has always been a powerhouse in college soccer. That's always been a great town for the game, and it took way too long to put a club there. I understand why Kansas City got one before St. Louis did. It was all about the Hunt family and where they were doing business. But you talk about cities where I think it makes sense and it'll work beautifully. I think St. Louis is one, and then you have a built-in rivalry as well. So they get a chance to put on a showing tomorrow in the stands at Busch Stadium as Uruguay takes on the USA, and we'll see how the starting 11 looks different than last Friday against Mexico. Meanwhile, now it kind of puts us behind the eight ball a little bit. I don't know how available Will Trapp and Jossie Zardes will be when they return to the club after playing on Tuesday, having to go to Atlanta and play on Saturday. I would imagine that we may not see them for more than half the match, if at all. We'll see.
I can see, you know.
Depends on how much they play on Tuesday, I suppose.
Depends on how much they play on Tuesday. And I can really see, yeah, I can see Caleb not putting Jossie in for the whole game. He doesn't need to. He can trot out Hamilton or Jordan.
I'd like to see Jordan Hamilton get some more minutes. What we got. Or, there's a guy.
You know, anybody else? Like I said, this is the dilemma at this point where you're like, I don't want to stop being competitive, but on the other hand, you got to figure out what you have in some of these guys.
Yep.
And
you got to win jobs.
Yeah, if they're not. If you're going to have to replace them or if they get injured or, you know, where are you at?
Well, the one thing that makes this match interesting against Atlanta on Saturday is the fact that Atlanta has been on a grinder schedule in the dog days of summer. Mm-hmm. They won the U.S. Open Cup a couple of weeks back against Minnesota. They're in that Campionos Cup? How do you say that?
Campionos.
Campionos Cup. They played a match in that. And they had league matches. They played 8 games in all in August.
Wow.
And I had to look at it like 3 times. I knew Martinez was scoring at a record-setting pace as far as games consecutive scoring. He has 23 in all on the season. But what I did a double take on was that scores 2 and 3 are tied at 4 goals apiece on Atlanta United's roster. They are leaning so heavily on this guy. And that's the sort of thing that works great in the regular season. But in the playoffs, when things are ramped up.
And this year, all it takes is one bad game.
Sure.
Yeah, one game where
he takes a knock.
He gets the yips or he gets a knock. And it's not there's no home and away anymore.
They are so reliant on his scoring. And they did get a goal from him on the 31st, but lost to front-running Philadelphia 3-1. They had a great month winning the Open Cup and so forth, doing very well in league play. But you kind of underline that with a red pin.
Well, there is one thing we know will definitely not happen in this Atlanta game.
It's not going to rain.
It's not going to rain.
Remember that? I have the date jotted down here because
I can't believe it was that long ago. My socks are still wet.
Yeah, I feel guilty. I stayed home and watched it on TV on March 30th of this year. The monsoon rains.
I cannot wait until we have a stadium that has a canopy. Yeah. Not even a full roof.
Of the heaviest rain I've ever seen at a sporting event. And we know how well that pitch drains. And the pitch just said, that's it.
When you're having to bring out pitch squeegees, there is a problem.
They didn't turn on the sprinklers at halftime that night. But, you know, the crew took advantage of the brutal elements. As we know, March can be around here in Central Ohio and 1-2-0 and left Atlanta complaining at having to play the match.
Yep.
Can you imagine? Now, they've had a lot of drama this season as well. They were kind of scuffling, and there was a supporters group that gathered in Atlanta, and they were trying to, you know, get out the torches and pitchforks and run DeBoer out of town because they didn't like the style of play. And now here they are in third position in the East and one of the contenders for the Cup.
Well, and when they, to be fair, when they started the season, not that, you know, run DeBoer out, what, 3 games in or something like that. They started the season something like 0-4 or 0-3 or 1-3-4, something like, I mean, it was a horrible start, but they eventually figured it out. New coach. Eventually figured it out and started feeding Martinez the ball more. And,
the Dutch system, you know, he's putting in a whole new way of playing compared to what they were used to. That takes time. And the fans, you would have thought that they hadn't won anything in 20 years. The fact that they've only been around for 3 years, it's just a bunch of whiny, entitled people. Like, shut up. You haven't earned the right to form a supporters group and run anybody out of town.
Every version of MLS teams, you know, 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, especially from like, I don't know, every new team, they come into the league and they were good in USL or whatever, and they think we should come into MLS and be as good, if not better. And that's the harsh reality that some teams, it takes them years, Toronto. Some teams, it takes them less because they spend a ton of money, Atlanta, you know.
And still, they're complaining.
And they're still complaining.
I dubbed this group that we're trying to run DeBoer out of town the Karens. It's the meme where Karen is, she needs to speak to the manager. Karens. And they need to speak to the manager immediately and run out of town.
There needs to be a band called the Karens.
Oh, I'm going to start one. I don't play an instrument,
you'd be the one to do it.
Yeah. All of our songs would be about our complaints to the complaint desk.
That should be the name of their first CD.
Yeah, My Complaints.
My Complaints.
So at any rate, Atlanta, we know at least they present you with exactly what you need to do. You need to stop Martinez. And if you don't do that, you're probably not going to win. So it's pretty pretty simple to understand.
And Crew versus Atlanta games in recent, you know, in the last 3-4 meetings have been very competitive.
Sure.
You know, whether here in Columbus or in Atlanta, they've been goal-to-goal activity, even if they end up in a 0-0 tie and they go to penalty kicks.
I swear to God, that is the most fun I've ever had watching a 0-0 game was that playoff game when our future was very much in question and the guys went down there and it was back and forth.
Yep.
Going to penalties, of course, knocking them out of the playoffs in penalties. That will never be forgotten. And I hope that the guys that were there and are still wearing the black and gold kit we'll remember that on Saturday and come out and give a big effort because it would be fun to beat them. I mean, there's going to be 40,000 people there. Some of them still probably not happy with their manager. But nonetheless, they will be there in full throat.
Your goal is to play spoiler, whether you're going to knock somebody out of the playoffs altogether like Toronto or whether you are going to, you know, if Atlanta's in third, they would get a home playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
If you knock them down, then they don't get a home playoff
beautiful
game. You know, just
beautiful
play that